just want to thank everybody for keeping Joanne and I in prayer as we attended my mother-in-law's funeral last Monday. I must say that it was really a wonderful funeral in that sense of rejoicing and celebrating her life. She lived to 96 years old. She came to faith about 14 years ago, just after my father-in-law passed away. And it was a beautiful funeral, having friends and family, and really a testimony of God's grace and God's kindness, and so many wonderful stories to tell. But really, all this time, we can sense every one of you praying for us, being with us, even though physically you're not there, but in the spirit we know you're keeping us in prayer. So Joanne really wants to thank everybody and really want to express appreciation for everything you have said to her and done for her. So right now she's at home recuperating, actually. I think emotionally she's still trying to catch up with a lot of stuff, and because every one of us grieve differently, right? I always tell my mother-in-law that I was her favorite son-in-law, and I'm grieving my own way because I really love her and really appreciate all that she has done for me and my family. And really, this is a time in which, you know, in life there's a transition of life into death. But for us as believers, even as we grieve, we do not grieve in terms of without hope. In fact, we grieve with hope, knowing that when we see our loved ones again, our friends again, that reunion is forever, in which we will never die, in which we now have the fullness of life. So every time there is a departure for us as a Christian, it's a reminder of the gospel again. And the gospel is something so precious to us as a community, isn't it? Since the day we have been coming as church for the past 15 years, I think the gospel is always that crucial message that we really believe in and stand on. And all this time, God has been with us, teaching us how to pursue after Him to be good disciples of Jesus Christ. And in fact, you know, this coming Wednesday is something in which we want to live the gospel again. This Wednesday, those of you who will not be aware or forgotten, we're having Peace Wise. We're having it here at 7:30, and really want to encourage every one of you, if you can make it for the next 2 hours on Wednesday night, please do come. It is free of charge without cost. And what is Peace Wise? And I think you have heard the publicity, you have heard some of the things being shared previously. It is an organization that teaches us as Christians how do we deal with conflicts through the gospel way. I think for church, like it or not, we all know a conflict, and sometimes we ourselves are caught in conflict. But the thing is this, is that many times as a community, conflict is actually a price we pay for intimacy. Conflict is a price we pay to come together as a people of God. Because we are different, we see things differently, and that's why sometimes because we see things differently, that is where conflicts happen. But the thing is this, we don't need to rehearse our pain again and again. Isn't it right, people? You know, we don't want to come to church and always say, oh, that person I must avoid, that person I must not shake hands with. I hope it's not a pastor. But the thing is this, is if we keep on rehearsing our pain, that means we do not grow. But if we learn not just to heal, but we also learn how to love, and we learn how to really walk in that grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, our community become better and better, isn't it? Our purpose here is not to build a perfect church. Our purpose here is to build a healthy church. Do you agree? Because you and I are not perfect, but you and I can be healthy people in the grace of God. And this is important because again and again, as we go back to the gospel, we go back to what God is saying to us, something is precious and something is important, especially what does it mean to be a community? What does it mean to be a people of God? You know, as in First Light, I think all of you will agree with me, we believe in signs, wonders, and miracles. Hallelujah. But we are not a magical kingdom. We need money. We need financial resources to sustain the work God calls us to do. And so in discussion with the board and some key leaders, I think it's important for us to visit on the issue or the topic of giving every once in a while. And so for every 3 months or so, I want to talk about finance. I want to talk about giving. And this should be one of our favorite topics because giving is part of discipleship. Right, let's look at this text, 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Verse 7-8. And here it says, you know, Paul was writing to the Corinthians, each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. Without a doubt, no, as I said, here Paul is writing to the Corinthians. He's saying to them that giving is part of discipleship. While we really want to believe God move miraculously and powerfully in our midst, in our lives, in our family, we also must realize as a church, as an organization, we have overheads, right? We have operational costs, we have staff salary, we have administrative costs involved. And your giving contributes not just to these things, but your giving contributes to a bigger picture of how we can bring the message of the gospel into the nation. Amen? So for the past 15 years, First Light, you are known as a very generous church. Not because I say so, but because many mission organizations that we work with often refer to us as one of the most generous churches in the city of Perth. On many occasions, even though we are small, we have punched above our weight. Over 15 years, we have sent some 20 missionaries and their families to places like China, Thailand, Nepal, Yemen, and many other places. We could do this not because we always have that strength, but God has supernaturally provided us, even though we are small as a community, we have given so much more to see the world calling upon the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Amen. So many mission organizations look to us as a good example. In fact, they often praise First Light, like even though proportionally, in terms of number, we are small, but in terms of giving, we are one of the most generous church. So this is something we want to catch on to. And in that sense, if we understand about giving, then we begin to understand discipleship is something so precious in which we can participate and partner with God in what He is doing. You see, when you come on Sunday worship, can I say most time, okay, not all of you, but most of us don't need to come prepared. All right, we just need to turn up on time, isn't it? Some of you don't anyway. But we just have to turn up on time. I'm not looking at anyone. And there's no condemnation. Right, you know who you are, but most time we don't have to prepare anything because there is a team who comes prepared, who rehearse and come to lead us. There's a sound people who are doing the sound, there's a pastor preaching the word. You just have to show up. In fact, come to worship, you don't need to sing well. You can sing off key. In fact, some of you just sing in some key at least, right? But even you don't have to have good hand coordination or bodily coordination. You may not clap in rhythm. You may not actually move with a beat. But you guess what? You are still worshiping God. But the thing is this. If you really ask yourself, it precisely costs you nothing to show up on Sunday. But when it comes to giving as a form of worship, it costs us something. Because you need to be intentional. You need to be deliberate. You need to really set aside a portion of what you have to honor God, to extend His gospel to all nations, throughout our community. In fact, if you look at, I was recently looking at some statistics, and this was done in 2019. Baptist Finance Service, right? Work with Macrinder Research. And basically, you can take a picture of this, go to the website and look at some of the information. But it says, one in five churchgoers, that's 20% of us, do not give a regular tithe or offering to the church. That means one out of five of us, we don't give regularly. And if you attend church weekly, you are more likely to give five times more than those who come fortnightly or once a month. But then again, it also say personal experiences motivate churchgoers to give financially to the church. In layman's language, it means giving is a very personal thing. But our worship is personal And our giving is personal. But it's important what I give out of a personal understanding of who God is. As I give something that's so personal, it's important to establish what is personal upon the Word of God. If not, we will be led by our feelings, we will be led by emotion, and sometimes we get carried away. Do you know that when First Light were first started, one of the key things we often do is never do a collection after the sermon. Not because we're scared the sermon is bad. But we don't want the people to give out of compulsion. We want people to give out of revelation. And this is important because you hear a good sermon, suddenly you get so roused out, say, oh, I'll open up my whole wallet and give everything away. And that includes your weekly grocery shopping. All right, that's not what we want. But rather, we want you to have a revelation of what God is saying to us. And so a couple of months ago, you know, remember Sarah, our treasurer, came to share and update us about our financial situation and the future of First Light. I think basically we all know and we all agree we have enough to sustain us for a while. But we don't have enough resources to do greater good in the kingdom of God. So this is what we need to move into. And so as I was listening to Sarah, two things come to my mind about how do we make the shift in terms of giving. And I only can draw two conclusions. It's either some of us are ignorant about giving. That means we have never been taught about biblical giving, or some of us are not giving as regularly or as generously. But if you really ask any of our leaders, whether past or present leaders, as I said before, First Light is and has always been a generous church. We have never kept things to ourselves. We did not just have money just to run our programs or events. In fact, as I say, we are punched above our weight contributing to the things of the kingdom. And we want to be faithful to support missionaries and people in need. You know, we want to finance kingdom projects so that, you know, God can be glorified. And this is something we all need to do. So basically, I want to share with you from 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Again, if you have your Bible with you or you can turn to your devices, look with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, key 8 points that we want to learn. Number one, poverty is not an excuse not to give, in a sense, because we all know the Macedonians were not rich. They were among the poorest of all the Christians, but come to giving, they really punch above their weight as well. So this is what Paul says. We want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia. For in the severe test of affliction, the abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflown in the wealth of generosity on their part. If you understand history, Macedonia as a country was the birthplace of Alexander the Great. And so when the Roman spread the empire, they actually went to Macedonia and looted their whole country of its wealth. All the spoils of war went to Rome, and the Macedonians became one of the poorest so-called vassal states of the empire. But what happens is this, is that though they were poor, though the amount they gave was not big, but their hearts was freely willing to give to everything. I think for most of us in Perth, or at least in this church, I will say most of us here are not living below the poverty line. Am I right to say this? If you feel you are living below the poverty line, let me say this out of love. You do not know how to manage your finance. You need a financial consultant to help you or work out some of these things. But most of us can say we are not living below poverty line. So it feels that way sometimes because things are getting expensive, is what Kelvin was saying earlier. Things are getting expensive, right? And sometimes, again, it's because we are used to a certain standard of living. So we feel that we cannot make the dollar stretch. But giving should be a part of discipleship. And when giving is not a priority for us, we will feel it's challenging to hear such a message. But when giving is a priority, we will then learn to be conscious and be deliberate the way we plan to give. Second point is this. 2 Corinthians 8, verses 3 to 4. For they give according to their means, as I can testify, and beyond their means of their own accord, begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints. So here were the Macedonia. They don't have much. Their amount is small, but they still want to give. In fact, Paul did not encourage them, but they were pushing it. They actually begged Paul. We want to give. In my 35 years as a pastor, I will tell you the truth. There's only one time in my ministry I saw actually people begging to give. One time. Most of the time, it's the other way. Right. So years ago, when I was mission pastor in Singapore, the Lord was challenging me to raise $1 million for mission. And my assignment was to raise that $1 million in 3 months. And to make the thing more miraculous, we were caught in a great GFC, the great financial crisis, right, in the late 90s. And so here was a challenge. And so I just went and just shared with the church. I said, we need to raise $1 million to sow into mission throughout the 6 continents. I know there's 7, but Antarctica, no one lives except for some of the scientists who live there. So, but we need to sow into mission, and we need to raise $1 million. And just one announcement, that's it. There was no every week pushing people or cajoling people to give. Just people must believe it is a God-given assignment. And so towards the end of the 3 months, a couple came to see me. And they actually bundled up, you know, in a handkerchief, $10,000. I said, Pastor, we're going to show you this. I said, don't give it to me. Put in the offering bag. I said, no. We're going to show you this amount of money. We just want to tell you our testimony. When you were sharing about this a few months ago, about raising $1 million, both my wife and I have lost our job. We were literally down to our last few dollars in our bank account. But the moment we heard what you are saying or sharing with us, we say to the Lord, Lord, do not let this pass us by. We want to give something. And both of us immediately felt the prompting, and the Lord led us to come up with this magic figure of $10,000. And so we prayed and we give ourselves to the Lord and we trust God. And next day, both of us landed a job when we couldn't find a job for the longest time. And for the next couple of months, we save whatever we can. And so, Pastor, this is a testimony of God's grace. When it comes to giving, be intentional. Make an excuse to always give. Give yourself a reason to give, not an excuse not to give. The Macedonians did not say they were too poor to give. They actually begged Paul for the privilege of giving. I think this is where the joy is for us as a people. There is a privilege of giving. Because they know that giving has a direct impact. That they are going to impact the gospel, the king, the world with the gospel. So the thing is this, never get caught up with how much you should give or not how much you shouldn't be giving. Keep on giving. I have a pastor friend of mine who used to say to me, if you are addicted to giving, God will feed your habit. I said, wow, that's interesting, hey? Now, this is the next point, 2 Corinthians 8, 5. And this, not as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord and then by the will of God to us. Give yourself first to the Lord. The Macedonians were great givers because they were great worshippers. They knew who God is. They gave themselves to the Lord and they gave their trust to those who are serving the Lord. Financial breakthrough, financial freedom, being generous giver first starts with you giving yourself to the Lord. When you can surrender your whole life in the hands of God, nothing seems too much for you to release into the things of His work. Amen? So that freedom of giving doesn't start with how much you have in your bank account. The freedom of giving is first you give yourself to the Lord. So the real issue isn't about giving, it's giving ourselves to the Lord. And some of you may know Bill Bright. He is a founder of Campus Crusade. And one time Bill Bright shared this story, how he was raising funds for Campus Crusade. And people was gathering for his conferences. He was challenging people, do you dare to give more than what you can give? Right? It's not pressure, right? So he met this guy who earned about $50,000, and he shared with Bill Bright that, do you know I give about, you know, a portion, about $17,000 of what I have. So in one sense, he gives about 35% of his income. So Bill Bright was being a bit cheeky in a sense. He was challenging him. So you are giving $17,000 of $50,000. Can you trust God next year you can give $50,000? And the guy said, maybe you didn't hear me right. My salary is $50,000. Say, oh, I heard you right, but can you trust God for it? So this man said, okay, I will trust God for it. And next year, he gave a $50,000. And then the subsequent year, he now trusts God for $100,000. And somehow, miraculously, he had $100,000 to give. And then finally, he works towards $1 million. How many of you can trust God to provide you $1 million to give to his kingdom? Okay, only two of us. But it's important that it's not about how much you give. It is about you learning first to give yourself. When giving is hard for you, it's like someone who never exercised for the longest time. Let's say you never go on a jog, you never do any heavy lifting. Try going for a jog, and next day you discover you have muscles and ligaments you didn't know exist in the first place. It hurts. Giving hurts sometimes because we have never been regular givers. But the moment we learn to walk in the momentum of God and trust God, something happens. It no longer becomes painful to give. In fact, this is what Paul says. We become cheerful givers. We are so joyful because God has given us a privilege to give, and we have every reason to give. Why? Because giving is a proof of our love for God. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 6 to 8 says, accordingly, we urge Titus as he had started so that he should complete among you this act of grace. But as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all earnestness and in all love, and in our love for you, see that you excel in this act of grace also. I say this not as a command, but to prove by the earnestness of others that your love also is genuine. As disciple of Jesus Christ, we want to excel in all things. Some of us want to excel in our knowledge of God's word. Some of us want to excel in our prayer life. Some of us want to excel in the way we witness to people the gospel of Jesus Christ. Good aims in that sense. But one other thing Paul encouraging all us as believers, both the Macedonians and the Corinthians, is we must excel in giving. Why? Because giving often is a measure of our love for God. Our hope is not in our wealth, but in the Lord. In fact, Paul wrote to 1 Timothy, tell those who are rich that their hope first is not in their bank account. Their hope must always be on God. And they must learn how to release their financial resources to the things of the kingdom. The Corinthians and the Macedonians, why were they involved in giving? Because to Agapus, the prophet, they knew a famine was coming. And they was collecting money to help the church in Jerusalem. And so both churches pledged to give. But the Macedonians were more active in giving than the Corinthians. The Corinthians thought about it, but they had not yet acted. And so Titus was sent by Paul with this letter to the Corinthians, reminding them that giving is a work of God's grace. And so he was telling the Corinthians that, look at your poorer brothers and sisters in Christ, the Macedonians, they are giving. So it's about time you who are richer, shouldn't you also start to contribute? Now, it's important Paul wasn't trying to create a competition on fundraising of two churches. Rather, he's reminding us as a body in Jesus Christ that all of us are involved in the work of God. There's a group who is so poor, they beg to give. There's a group who is so rich, they've forgotten to give. And so Paul is bringing them together that when we give, it demonstrates a genuine love for God. Why do we do that? Well, the next point, number five, is Christ is our perfect example of a great giver. 2 Corinthians 8:9, it says, "For you know the grace of Lord Jesus Christ, though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that by his poverty might become rich." Jesus is God. Jesus have all the eternal wealth of heaven. But when he became one of us, through his incarnation, even though he walks with us, fully divine, fully human, he was by comparison poorer than who he was first in heaven. By becoming like us, Jesus became poor. But when we come to know Jesus Christ, we get to share in his eternal wealth through the abundant life he gave us. Amen? So we know that though we die one day, when we go to heaven, is an extension of the abundant life we have right now. Eternal life does not begin after we die. It begins the moment we know Jesus Christ. But it becomes greater and much more, what I call, magnificent when we go to be with the Lord. In a sense, it is so interesting that, you know, Paul himself, you know, was reminding us how Jesus is our perfect example. We all know that Paul has many revelations as he wrote his epistles. Right? He met Jesus. But do you know one time? The only time Paul ever quoted Jesus was in Acts chapter 20, verse 31. He never quoted Jesus in any of his writing except one time. In Acts 20:31, when he met the elders of the Ephesian church, he said to the leaders there, "In everything I did, I show that you, by the kind of hard work we have done to help the weak, remembering the words of the Lord Jesus Christ himself, is more blessed to give than to receive." The only time Paul ever quoted Jesus was this very word: "It's more blessed to give than to receive." Imagine that. That there's such blessing that we can give, because giving is part of discipleship. When we give, we realize God has put in us a power, not an earthly power, but a supernatural grace that we can bless his work. That there's something so powerful, something so supernatural. Which brings us to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 10 to 11. "And in this matter, I give my judgment. This benefits you, who a year ago started not only to do this work, but also to desire to do it. So now finish doing it as well, so that your readiness in desiring it may be matched by you completing it out of what you have. Be willing to make a pledge and be more willing to fulfill it." You know, many years ago, this is something I've been doing, something I want to encourage you. I have this journal that I put that I want to give X amount of dollar. And when I was a teenager, I could only give my dollars and my cents. When I start working, I could give my hundreds. And subsequently, the Lord blessed me, I could give thousands. Do you know, one figure that I always put is, I want to give $1 million away. I'm still waiting, church. But I believe it's possible. Because it's, again, it's my experience of God. God has provided, God has watched me and my family. When we were told to leave Singapore to go into New Zealand, God says, "Do not work, trust me to provide." And God provided for us supernaturally. For 3 years, until I came to Perth, God supernaturally provided, really by faith. I knew what it means to be like a Hudson Taylor, like a George Mueller, really praying in the money. And I thank God I never go through time that I'm wondering when my next meal comes from. So during so-called the years in which I trust God to provide, I never lost weight. He provided. It's only I came here And for the past 15 years, I lost 15 kg, thanks to you guys. Now, the thing is this. As Bill Bright challenged that man, I want to challenge you till now. To, we have 148 days till December 31. Will you not at this time ask God for a figure and trust Him to provide that by December 31st, you can give something and you can say, God has provided. Just like that couple I met years ago. Is it possible? Turn to your neighbor and say, yes. It's possible. Just between you and God. As I say, it's personal. Right? Just when it comes to giving, follow this tagline of a famous sport company. Just do it. Right? Now, number 7, give readily. 2 Corinthians 8:12 says, for if the readiness is there, it is acceptable according to what a person has, not according to what he does not have. We can't give what we don't have. And God judges our giving against what resources we have. There is a place for faith giving because God gives us that figure. God says, I want you to believe me to provide you the means to do so. All that we have is God. God is our resources. God is our source and our supply of everything. And what is important is that we give according to the grace God has given us. If we trust God, if we obey God, then we ask God to help us. Especially for those of us who feel we are financially stretched, we need to pray for revelation that God will help us. But it starts with a readiness and a willingness of the mind. You know, don't go back and say that, well, I wish I had more. Start with what you have. If all you can give is this amount, start with that and then trust God to multiply the works of your hand. You know, for us as a church, we're going to talk about this next time, but not now. Should I tithe? Should I give an offering? This is something we will pick up down the road. But I would encourage you, you should tithe. Why? Because tithing, well, we're not old covenant, we're new covenant people, but tithing was provided as an example to the people of God of old, how to give faithfully, how to give regularly. So likewise, this is something for all of us to consider. And every time you look at the New Testament, when tithing is mentioned, it is always mentioned in a very positive light, you know, when it's done with the right heart. But we will cover about tithing and offering the next time we talk about giving. But at this point, what is important is that when we come to giving, Paul is encouraging the Corinthians, it must be regular, it must be planned, it must be proportional to what you have, and again, it is very private. You should decide what is in your heart. If you can't decide, ask God to help you to decide. And He will help you. Right? And as I said, as my friend said, if you are addicted to giving, God will feed your habit. The last point is this. Give to the point of equality. 2 Corinthians 8:12. For I do not mean that others should be eased and you be burdened, but that as a matter of fairness, your abundance at the present time should supply the need, their need, so that their abundance may supply your need and that there may be fairness. As it is written, whoever gathered much had nothing left over, and whoever gathered little had no lack. The Corinthian Christians was not giving to the Christian in Jerusalem. And so Paul was encouraging them, what you give help the Christian in Jerusalem to survive. But one day it will come that this Christian will also help you. Giving should not be a burden. That's what Paul said. Giving should not be a burden. Rather, when we give, is to help a need or to meet a situation. But there comes a time when we have needs, when we have a situation, who knows? Someone else may move to bless us. Now, we used to say, give till it hurts, right? Thank God it's not in the Bible. Because giving should not be an affliction. Give till it hurts. Giving, rather, is a reflection of God's generosity, God's love. We want to be like our Father. It's what Jesus said in Matthew. Be perfect as your Father is perfect. If you read that context, it should be generous as your Father is generous. Be perfect in giving because your Father gives perfectly. But rather, when he was saying this, he was referring to Old Testament, the collecting on a manna. Remember, he who gathers much had nothing left over because they know if they gather too much manna, next day it will be filled with maggots, it will smell, it get rotten. But you gather, right, you have nothing left over. But you gather little, you have no lack. It's about giving in equality. Now, here is not to imply that we all become communists or socialists. This is not everyone has a fair share. But rather, the equality is nobody starves and nobody hoards his abundance at someone else's expense. When you give to First Light Church, it doesn't go just to run operational or give into my salary or Pastor Jeremy's salary or every one of our staff or to the programs we have. But rather, when you give, remember your money is like manna. Hoarding it will not make you richer. Hoarding the resources that you have that you can release actually makes you poorer. But when you give, always trust that God will provide for you. Always believe God is there to know your needs. I will tell you many times, in many ways, there are times I want to give, but I have nothing to give. And I will just tell the Lord, Father, I believe in that. I want to sow into that thing, but really, I don't have the means to give. And somehow, God always provides me a means. I will tell you many times, and Joanne can testify it, I pick up $50 on the roadside. Many times. Not in church, huh? Thanks, in case you think I take something for the offering back. No. I'll tell the Lord, I want to give. And somehow, money will just land really literally at my feet. Oh, $50. I can give to the things of God. I will do you wrong as your pastor, as a friend, to say this should be only be my experience. It should be all our experiences because we are all minister of the gospel, isn't it? Give when you have the means to give. If you want to give supernaturally, ask God to give you and provide for you supernaturally. If you really are stretched, there's nothing in you you can give. But if you have a readiness and a willing heart, trust God to provide something. And He will always do that. So in closing, you know, this is one thing I want you to take home to reflect by yourself, your family, in your life group, in your 3-2-1. What is the one thing I want to change about my giving habit? Take a picture, please. What is the one thing I want to change about my giving habit? But really, church, what we are facing, we're not going to be a financial crisis, but what we're going to experience is a financial blessing because God has positioned us to do greater works than we can ever imagine. And we are all partners with Him. So trust Him and believe. Let us all rise. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank You. We thank You for all things that we have in Christ. We thank You for blessings and the benefits of having Jesus, that all the wealth of heaven has already made available to us. Father, if we have been ignorant about giving, or we have not been giving regularly and generously, we thank You that today You give us a fresh start. And I pray that Your word that go forth will accomplish its purpose. It will not come back to You empty. But Lord, what a joy, what a privilege that we can imitate You in giving. So people of God, if you really want to have a shift, I just ask you just to raise up your hands at this time to pray for a shift in the way you understand finance, in the way you understand giving. that Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for every person who raised their hands. There's a freshness coming to the way they understand how you work. Because you do not work like us. Your kingdom is counterintuitive. So teach them and help them. I thank them for you, that Father, they want to be part of what you are doing. And so, Father, I bless them in Jesus' name. And I call forth that you give them wisdom. You give them understanding. But most important, Father, you give them a generous heart, a generosity that reflects you in every way. The days to come, we can talk about great things that happen. Not because of what we have done, but because of what you have done in the midst of your people. In Jesus' name.